I mean, it's good to be here this morning. Good to be back at Sulphur. It's like coming back home. We've been on the road so long and so many different places we traveled. Thank the Lord that most of our services have been really good and really lively. Flipping through the songbook, and I've never done those songs like that in a row that tells a story. I'm glad that the Lord showed that to me today. What a sacrifice that Christ made for us on our behalf. And other than Easter, around this time, there's probably no other time we really recognize, we really think about it as much as during Christmas. You know, he came and he was born in a little manger, and he was born to a world that nobody wanted him. I mean, nobody wanted Christ, nobody wanted a Savior that they thought they wanted. They thought he was going to come as a king, and he was going to come in royal apparel, and he was going to come with a mighty army. Amen. That's coming one day after a while, but the time he came the first time was the time to seek and save that which was lost. I'm glad Jesus went out seeking for me. Amen. I'm glad the Lord went seeking for me. I'm telling you what, he was like a shepherd. The Bible said he left the 99 for the one that went astray. Everybody in this room is the one that went astray. Amen. He went out seeking for the 99. He left them behind because they were okay. But there was one out there. Amen. And that was me and that was you. Amen. That Jesus, the shepherd, wanted to bring back into the fold. And he wanted to have a part of that family again. And I'm glad he went out seeking to save that which was lost. Amen. I'm glad today for what God has done in my life. Amen. I don't know when I'll get the message, but I just tell you what, I'm blessed today. Amen. To be standing here before you. Amen. Because God has given me a wonderful piece of news this week. Amen. He blessed me this week to let me know that me and my wife is about to become parents. Amen. We didn't even know it until this week. Thank you. Amen. But I couldn't help but think whenever I was singing that first song. Amen. How Joseph must have felt. Amen. It wasn't his child. He didn't know how to raise it. Never thought there would be this kind of news expecting. Amen. Just like me, I thought to myself, amen, how am I going to raise this child? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Amen. For about 2 hours the other day, I just, all I could do, amen, was sitting crying, sobbing ball, thanking God for what he's done, but also worried to death. Lord, how am I going to do this? Amen. I'm not prepared for this, not ready. Amen. God, it was his timing, and I'm glad today that God is in control over our lives. Amen. If some things were up to us, we'd never do them. They'd never get done. Amen. If it's up to me, I'd be so scared. I'd never want to have a kid of my own will. But God said it's time to have one now. It's wonderful how God's timing is. Amen. We just moved into a new house in May. We got plenty of room to raise a family. Amen. Melissa's job is going well. God made it an opportunity for me to be able to stay home and be able to visit people if I need to be a minister. God's timing is perfect today. Amen. Glad that he's in charge. God gave me a message this past week before she ever told me this. I told her this morning, I said, God gave me a message. Amen. And it goes right along with what we've been going through here. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Most of you, probably a lot of you know this scripture, have heard it, probably have some of it memorized by heart. You know, for God to give you something, for God to answer prayer, you got to find yourself in the position to receive. This week I was studying my Bible and I starting to read and starting to think and starting to ponder. I was exactly where I needed to be. I was doing what I needed to do to receive from the Lord today. I'm glad that, you know, if you expect to receive something from the Lord, you got to expect to be where he can bless you. Amen. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not pondering, if you're not praying, if you're not having communion with the Lord and having a relationship, how can you expect to receive anything from God? Let's start reading the verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I'm going to stop a reading right there. Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever live, definitely probably the wisest king and the richest king to ever live, wrote this book called Ecclesiastes, and it's also called The Words of the Preacher. Amen. And this book of the Bible continues to amaze me when I read it and think about it. Sometimes it can be some of the most depressing scripture you've ever read. Because Solomon, in all his wisdom, I believe he was probably a lot carnal-minded here in a lot of senses. Because sometimes he just has some of the most depressing things to say, that, you know, all is vanity. Everything is just vexation of spirit. There ain't nothing worth living for, sometimes it seems like he's saying. Amen, but I believe you got it right, amen, when he said there's a time and there's a season to everything and every purpose under heaven, amen. Not to say that the scripture's not inspired. Believe me, by all means, it is inspired, and what was written was intended to be written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And you can learn a lot from Solomon here. And we're going to try to go into this message here that the Lord has given me. If I was to give it a title, it would probably be Times and Seasons. Times and Seasons. We see here in the very first verse, Solomon says to everything, everything, there's nothing that's left out, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And what got me really thinking about this, I was out there on the back deck of the porch, and I began to look at all the different leaves that was changing in different colors, and how the leaves begin to fall and just drift down, almost like a slow rain on the back of the lawn back there. I began to look at all these different changes that the season had brought on it, and I began to think about seasons and what seasons are and what they mean. I began to think about seasons not only in the natural sense, in the carnal sense, but in the spiritual sense. Amen. We think about seasons, and we wonder what a season really is. I looked the word up, season, in the old Hebrew dictionary, and it talked about an appointed time. You know, if we think about natural seasons, they happen at the appointed time every year. Along about June, we have the summer season coming. Amen. And we found out just here not too long ago, the fall was coming in around September and October. And before long, we'll see winter coming in about January, February. It'll switch over to winter. And then next thing you know, around March or April, it'll be spring. And we can basically bank on that every year we're going to have seasons just one after another. Well, you know, there's seasons in a Christian's life. Amen. Today, I'd kind of like to give you some examples and some insights about seasons that I've been thinking about. Amen. Thinking about seasons, thinking about what they are. And I've got some points written down here that I want to go over. Amen. Some characteristics of times and seasons. For one thing, seasons always involve change. Amen. You can't have a season without something changing. Amen. In fall, the leaves begin to change from green and bright green to gold and red and brown, and then they finally fall off and there's no leaves on the trees anymore. That's a change that happens. We think about winter. The change that we see in winter is a lot of times snow begins to come, the temperatures drop. Amen. We see the landscape is no longer, amen, bright and beautiful and green. We see dead things all over the place. We see dead limbs, dead trees. We see white landscapes where it's snow. We see ice covering all the different trees and different things happening, to different frost covering our vehicles. My wife's been on me for about a month now to clean the garage so she wouldn't be outside scraping the window, and I finally got to it. So now she can get in the garage and back her car out and not have to worry about scraping her windows. Seasons are coming. We see the seasons in spring. Winter's a time of deadness. Amen. But we see spring. It's a time of resurrection. It's a time of renewing. It's a time of new life again. Amen. I'm glad this season kind of represents what we go through in our Christian life. You know, one day we'll be saying goodbye to this old world. One day the leaves will start falling off. Amen. Off our hair, off our head, the leaves will start falling. Amen. We'll start experiencing pains and aches in our joints and in our muscles. Amen. We'll have to have more doctor's appointments. Believe me, I know all about that. Having to have doctor appointment after doctor appointment for this or that. That's starting to break down on me. Amen. But one of these days, we'll be laid in the ground. But then one of these days after that, not too long, we'll hear the sound of the trumpet of God. If we make it that long, we'll hear it before we hit the grave. Amen. But then the resurrection will come and it'll be springtime once again. Amen. Newness and life once again will burst forth from the ground. Not as a flower, but as a grain bursting open. Amen. In springtime, we see things bright and beautiful once again. The flowers start blooming. It comes after a long, seems like the winter's getting longer and longer. Seems like we don't see a good, beautiful scene in forever. And then all of a sudden we find the first spring of things bringing forth. The seeds are getting lively again. Then in summer, everything is in full bloom. Everything is bright and beautiful. Seasons change. There's change involved in seasons. Another thing I was thinking about in seasons that I wrote down here real quick is that seasons are constant. Amen. There's never been a time on this earth that we've went and we've had summer all year long. I don't know about you, but the last few years it seems like fall and winter are one season altogether. And then spring and summer are one season. We don't never see fall, we always see summer. We don't never see spring, we see summer. We see winter, we don't never see fall. It's all meshed together, seems like. But they're constant. The Bible says back in Genesis here, chapter 8, verse 22. Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. This was after the ark had happened and the flood had came upon the earth. The ark rested, and Noah built an altar to the Lord, and God told him. The Bible says in verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Never will I again smite anymore any every living thing as I have done. Then he says, while the earth remaineth, as long as the earth is remaining, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Seasons are constant here on this earth. In our Christian's life, amen, we go through seasons. We go through constant change. Nothing is ever the same. Amen. It talks about Ecclesiastes, I looked up that word purpose, a time to every purpose under heaven. And that purpose basically means that everything is fleeting. There's nothing you can really depend on. It's always in a constant change. Everything we go through in life, we see change happening. In this life, in this climate we're living in today, we see change happening in political areas and weather areas and overseas and things that are happening in the Middle East. There's change happening. But there's some things that we can trust in, and that is that God is still in control. Amen. God is in control of all the seasons. He's the one that's got His hand on this. No matter what kind of season you may be going through, it may be a dead spot in your life. You may be in the winter of your life. But guess what? Spring is just around the corner. You can bank on that. Hold on. It won't be very long. Amen. But I also tell you this, you can bank on this. You might be in the middle of summer and just happy days and just doing all the best you can. Amen. Then all of a sudden we see some leaves start turning and start falling off and plants start wilting. We're going to go through some valleys in this life. We're going to go through some mountains we have to climb. You can bank on that as well. But the seasons always come around. God is in control of the seasons. When Nebuchadnezzar had his dream in the book of Daniel chapter 2, it talks about how Daniel, amen, went to sleep and God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And he began to speak to himself in chapter 2 verse 21. The Bible says in Daniel, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God is in control of the seasons. He's the one that changes the times and the seasons. Whatever we go through in this Christian life, God is working it out for our good. If we're obeying Him, if we're in the center of His will, and make sure that we're in the path that He wants us to take, and we strive the best we can to follow what He wants us to do. Bible says that everything we go through, that God works everything to the benefit and to the good of those that are called according to His purpose. Seasons change, but seasons are constant. They come up through year round, they come, and you can depend on them. Another thing about seasons I wrote down here that I thought was interesting was they happen one at a time. Now that's very interesting to me. I began to think about the fall when I was out there on the back deck, and as I pondered seasons and pondered all these different things, it came to my attention, fall is always fall. It's never spring. It's never summer. It's never winter. It feels like winter the closer it gets to winter. But winter's definitely different. Those seasons in life happen one at a time. What would happen if we had fall and spring at the same time? Everybody would be confused. The grass wouldn't know how to grow. The plants wouldn't know how to grow. The animals would be acting haywire. You know, God set it up in such a way that there would be no confusion. And when you're in a season, there shouldn't be any confusion as to whether you can depend upon the Lord or not, and whether He's in control of those seasons. They happen one at a time. Now, I understand that sometimes things can happen one right after the other. And you ask, Lord, what's going on here? Feels like you're in four different seasons. I've got all seasons wrapped up in one. But notice, in the seasons, I was thinking about this on the way up here. In the seasons, different things happen in seasons. In the fall, the leaves fall. But not only that, they change color. But not only that, the temperature drops. See what I'm saying? There's different events that happen that signify a season. When the leaves start falling, I know it's not winter. I haven't seen any snow yet. When the grass starts growing and the plants start budding out, we see the nice buds, the nice different varieties of plants, I know that winter's not happening. It's spring. You can't mistake it. So when we go through life in seasons, there may be multiple events, but generally they only happen one at a time. And it's very important to focus on whatever season of life you're in right now, to focus on that until God has revealed to you it's time for a new season. When Israel was in the wilderness, God had set them up some rules and some regulations and some dimensions and blueprints of how the temple, not the temple, but the tabernacle, was to be built. And when it was time for them to go, first of all, they wandered through the wilderness 40 years, and when it was time for them to set up camp, the glory of the Lord in the form of a cloud came and rested on the tabernacle when they had it built, when they set it up. That was their sign that it was time to stay. And they stayed and did their business. That was a season they went through. And when the season changed, they always had a sign, because the glory of the Lord began to lift and began to depart from that place. They knew it was time to go. Jesus criticized the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those people when they began to look at the sky and see whether it's going to be fair weather or not, or whether it's going to be bad weather. He said, you can discern the times and the seasons physically, but you can't really spiritually. You don't understand them spiritually. You don't understand the law. You don't understand how Christ came and how I am the Messiah. So the Pharisees need to look for signs. And we all know as we grow up to look, when we see the fall, the leaves fall, we know it's autumn. We know it's fall. We see the snow coming on the ground and frost and colder temperatures. Things are dead. There's nothing growing. We know it's winter. But I'm glad, like I said, the seasons roll around. They're changing, and we know that spring is just on the horizon. So seasons change. They're constant. They're always going to be here. They happen one at a time. But I also wrote down this morning three more points. First one is they're going to come sooner than you expect. How many can look at this year and say, man, Christmas is here, and I don't know how it got here so quick. Amen. I mean, it's faster and faster and faster. You think I've got all the time in the world, next thing you know, it's 2022. They come sooner than you expect. Amen. Well, we see a season right now we're living for the last 2,000 years. I would call it a season of grace. Since Christ left this world, since He went back to the Father and presented Himself a sacrifice to there, we've been living in a season of grace. Amen. But the season one day will change just like any other season. And amen, Christ is going to appear in the clouds, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up with Him, what we call the rapture today. Amen. The graves of Christians will burst forth and will be forever with the Lord when we meet Him in the air. But what happens on this earth is a brand new season. And it's a terrible season. It's a season of pain and torment and of worry and of fear. Amen. People's hearts failing them for fear. It's called the Great Tribulation. And it's coming sooner than we think. Amen. Jesus is going to step out on the cloud and come sooner than we think. We've been hearing it all our lives. And here lately I've been hearing how people have said, I've heard that all my life. And not that they didn't agree with it. But as we grow up, as we get older, things like that stick with us. And we begin to think about that. And yes, I have heard it most of my life. As long as I've been a Christian, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. But I'll tell you what, that ain't no excuse to get lazy and slack on the Lord. The Bible gives us all kinds of warnings about, amen, how the groom went out, the bridegroom went out and began to ask people and invite people to the wedding. Amen. And they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. They had all begun to make an excuse. Amen. And before they knew it, amen, the wedding was on and they had no part in it. We see the 10 virgins, five wise and five foolish. Amen. In Matthew 25, we see that five had oil in their lamps. They were ready to go. They were at a moment's notice when the bridegroom called them. They'd be ready to go with him. But five were foolish and had no oil in their lamps. And while they were out trying to refresh their oil, the bridegroom made a call just that quick. And it came sooner than they expected. And because they'd waited, because they weren't prepared and weren't ready, they were locked out, amen, of the wedding feast forever. We need to be ready. We need to be searching our souls. And asking ourselves, Lord, I know this is going to come sooner than I expect, taking it seriously. We can look, we talk about signs in the seasons. We can tell when the seasons are changing. Well, I look and I think about the signs of the times that we're living in now. We see earthquakes in diverse places. We see wars and rumors of wars happening. We see all these different things, changes of leadership. And talking about the global climate change and all these things. The Bible describes as birth pangs of the earth. And when we start to see these things happen all at once, amen, I believe the Lord is on His way very soon. Amen. Amen. Because yes, we've had wars all our life, but we haven't had them constantly and in the same time, just bang, bang, bang. We haven't had the earthquakes in diverse places and volcanoes and all this stuff happening just one after another. I mean, you can't turn on the news without something new happening. And I believe now that every eye can see what's going on, we're right in the perfect time. We got satellites everywhere that every eye will see Him when He comes. I believe we're in that time right now. And it won't be long. He'll come sooner than you think. And let me just tell you, you might be in a season right now. We talked about this earlier. You might be in a season right now where everything's hunky-dory. But that can change quicker than you think. But I also want to encourage you. If you're going through a season of despair, if you're going through a season of downtime, if you're going through a season that's just depressing, amen, that can change quicker than you think as well. You need to hold on and stay on the plow. The Bible says, him that holds on to the plow, looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But we need to hold fast to the profession of our faith because Christ is coming and the silver lining is appearing just quicker than we think. Amen. A couple more points and I'll be done. Seasons change. Seasons are constant. They happen one at a time. They come sooner than you expect. And they're always in motion. You know, the seasons never halt. Just as the sun always is moving. Of course, we know it's the earth going around the sun. But just an example, we know that the day is continually getting darker and darker. And then as it gets darkest, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And it continually is in motion. There's only a couple times in the Bible ever where the sun stood still or it changed motion. We find it happened in Hezekiah. He was added 15 years to his life and the sun went back, I think it was 10 degrees. And then we find it when Joshua was in battle. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still and it did for the space, I believe it was about an hour. But for the most part, seasons are always changing. We see color and we don't even notice it half the time because we're not really looking at it. Amen. But one week, you'll be noticing the leaves are turning a little bit of color, and amen, the leaves start falling. The next week, it's bright color, and you didn't know how it happened. There's color everywhere. Or there's no color anymore now. You've got bald spots all in the trees, and you're like, when did I miss this? But they're always in motion. You're not going to be stuck in a season for long because it's always in motion. Amen. You can do things. The Bible talks about you can do things to prolong your days or to shorten your days. Well, the same thing happens. You can do things to prolong the season you're in or to shorten it. We look at Israel again. They were in the wilderness and they were supposed to get over Jordan and they were supposed to cross the Red Sea and get over to the Promised Land. And it wouldn't have been very long before they went there. But the problem was, they went to spy the land. They come back, had an evil report. They were out in the wilderness for 40 days. And when they spied the land and come back and had an evil report and slandered the Lord, the Bible uses that word slander. They slandered the Lord in the report. God added to them every year for a day. They were out in the wilderness for 40 days, spying the land. God said, you're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. You prolonged your stay in this season. They did that. God didn't want them to do that. He wanted them to go on, but they were so stuck with Israel, with Egypt, that God said, all right, we're going to get you in the wilderness, and we're going to get all this out of you. And that whole generation, except Joshua and Caleb, died. All that was left was the children that was born while in the wilderness. The whole generation didn't even get to see the Promised Land. They knocked themselves out of the blessing because they prolonged their season. Seasons are in constant motion. They're always moving. Amen. But you can prolong your stay or you can shorten your stay in the season. And the last thing I've got written down, and I've always said this, there are always signs beforehand. You can't mistake fall for winter. You can't mistake summer for fall. It is what it is because we know it is what it is. All our life has been the same. So when you see a season coming ahead, there are signs beforehand. I didn't really understand. Amen. When Melissa told me that she went to the doctor and said that we're going to have a baby, amen, I didn't really see any signs beforehand. I mean, I eventually would. If she didn't go to the doctor, I'd eventually see her start growing a little bit. I'd be wondering, what's going on? Well, you eat and then you diet. Then we'd have to go to the doctor and find out, well, those are the signs of a new season. We're in a new season in our life. Right now, we're already talking about what furniture has got to go where and where we got to, what things we got to get out of the house so we have room for the baby and all this other stuff. And it's happened faster than I think. Talking about being emotional. It's just the wheels are spinning. This is a new season. But I'm glad it's a season to rejoice. Why is that? Because the Bible talks about children. It says, happy is the man. The children are a blessing from the Lord. Happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. So it's a season of happiness. Yes, there are other things that go along with that. I've had truck issues. I've had all kinds of issues with my arm and my shoulder, finally getting that worked on. Multiple different things have been going on. But you know what? God has given me something greater to look forward to than all that stuff. So I've got my eyes on something that nothing else will deter me from. And that's the one good thing about this season that I'm in right now, is God's given me something to look forward to. And Christ is the ultimate prize that we look forward to. Bible tells us to look forward, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. We've got something to look forward to. We hear about our loved ones passing away just not too long ago. I lost my aunt to COVID. She had pneumonia. She had COVID. She's had back problems ever since I can remember. So I'm glad that she's in a better place. I hate to know that she's gone now, but I'm glad that she's in a better place. But it seems like they're dropping like flies. The older I get, the more funerals I got to go to. And I've been to many all my life. Because my dad was a pastor. He's still a pastor. He's been a preacher for years. And I remember going to funeral homes after funeral homes. But that's part of life. That's part of the seasons. But amen, one day after a while, we won't have to go through so many changes. Everything will be all the same when we get to heaven. Everything will be bliss. There'll be no night, it'll only be day. I believe the seasons will be just one happy season. But as long as we're on this earth, amen, in this body, in this flesh, we have to endure seasons. So it's best to be prepared. It's best to search out help from the Lord in His Word and learn about seasons. If you're going through seasons of trial or tribulation or you're going through other seasons, don't just lay back and settle back and say, soul, I'll take mine ease. Everything's all hunky-dory now. The rich man of the Bible did that, and his soul was required of him that night. When things are going good, you need to make sure you got air in your spare tire. I've heard that before. People use God as a spare tire all the time. They get a flat in life, and they say, well, Lord, I need you. You ever went to get a spare and it's flat? You can't. It won't do you no good. That needs to be maintained. The relationship with God needs to be maintained daily, walking with the Lord. Times and seasons. We'll read that verse one more time, and I'll be done. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything, no exception, everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Whether it's being born, whether it's death, whether it's planting, whether it's plucking up which planted, whatever it may be, there's a appointed time to that. And if we know that that's the case, then we have no excuse to not be prepared for it. Thank you for your attention this morning. I feel like the Lord's cleared my heart. Amen. I don't feel like there's a need for the song this morning. If you want to sing one, by all means. But I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Terrence at this time. Appreciate your attention. Thank you for inviting me.